Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen. By thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep us as the apple of the eye, hide us under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress us, from our deadly enemies who compass us about. Hold up our goings in thy paths, that our footsteps slip not. Amen. Now let us join with our brethren in singing the well-known hymn, The Mighty to Save. That's number 9 in Hymns of Dawn. Brother G.R. Pollock of Los Angeles, California, who will speak to us on the topic, These Sayings of Mine. Brother Pollock.
Thank you, Brother Krupa. I'm reading from Matthew, the 7th chapter, and from the 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribe. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. These sayings of Jesus, as he taught the people in his Sermon on the Mount, and as he taught at other times also, have been a great help to you and me. Through these sayings, we have learned to know our Heavenly Father. We have learned also to know His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is life eternal, that we might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent. But these sayings have also given us material with which to build a Christian character. Every one of these sayings of Jesus are true. Every one is a building block for the superstructure of our faith. As an example, from these sayings of Jesus, we are taught the great truth of the ransom. For it was Jesus who said, "This is my body which is given for you." And He also said, "This is my flesh which I will give for the life of the world." And from these and other sayings, we lay the foundation upon which our salvation rests, and upon which our faith structure must be builded. From these sayings, or words of truth, spoken by our Master, we learn also of the other fundamentals of God's Word. We learn of the resurrection. For it was Jesus who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And He also said, "All that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth." And He said concerning these who do come forth, "And they that hear shall live." These are building blocks of truth, sanctifying truth, that some have known but have let slip. They have not kept the sayings of Jesus close to their heart. But before you and I can fully appreciate these fundamental verities of His Word, we must first have heard and obeyed another of these sayings of Jesus. Jesus knew that hearing what He said was one thing, but doing what He said was another thing. His words in our text emphasize this. Some have merely said, "Lord, Lord," and think that such confession or profession will give them entrance into the kingdom of God. But the Lord said, "Not so. Not every one that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Doing, then, becomes very, very important. Our Lord realized this. One of His sayings is, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In these simple words, He said, "Do something if you want to be a follower of mine." In John 13:17, Jesus also says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." The Father says, "My Son, give me thine heart. Consecrate yourself to me. Let your life be one of self-sacrifice." And Jesus says, "Take up your cross." And to us, the cross becomes a symbol emphasizing the sacrifice of our justified humanity, that we as joint heirs with Him may also share His glory. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus adds to His sayings in these words, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" This saying of Jesus has to do with building Christian character. That is why he uses the illustration of a tower. Christian character is no ordinary building. It towers above those built by human ambition and earthly desire. Any instruction in Christian building must take into account this lesson of Jesus: sit down first and count the cost. Our entering the narrow way is serious business. One does not approach it by saying, for instance, I have tried golf. I have tried the Masonic Lodge. I didn't find the satisfaction I want in either. So, I guess I'll give consecration a fling. I'll give it a try, and if I don't like it, I'll try something else. No, one cannot do that. Count the cost, the Master says. Just what does it cost? Well, he says, it costs our restitution life rights. That is true, but what does that mean? It means if we do not finish our tower, we do not get another try at it. Esau could only sell his birthright once. We have put all our assets into escrow. They can't be used for anything else. We have given up our restitution life rights. But if we are faithful, the cost will be small in comparison with what we shall receive. The Master says, 100% in this life and in the next, immortal life. The subject of building is often referred to in the Bible, but sometimes the Authorized Version loses the thought of building by the use of the words edify, edifying, or edification. These words all have to do with building, just as an edifice means a building. They are all from the same root word. It will interest you to know that a builder, that is, one who builds, used to be called an edifier. That is, a builder. I don't know what my business associates would think if I advertised myself as an edifier, but I am. With that thought in mind, we are all edifiers. We are all builders. Builders not only of our own structures, but builders by helping our brethren also to properly build their structures. Of course, there is a division of the construction business entirely devoted to tearing down, to wrecking. Let us not devote our time to this work of demolition or destroying the unity of the Spirit, but rather to upbuilding and to edifying. Romans 14, the 19th verse, and continuing into the 15th chapter and the first two verses reads, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, or as many translations have it, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good in upbuilding. Building is a rewarding occupation, and so is our upbuilding those of like precious faith. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 4th verse, we are told, he that prophesieth edifieth the church. That is, he builds up the congregation. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and beginning with the 11th through the 16th verses, we read these words, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Therefore, let us all be builders. Let us build one another up by example and by precept. If we concern ourselves not so much in little things wherein we differ, but in the great fundamentals wherein we agree, we will be able to edify one another in love and fellowship and in service, even though such a course may displease the devil. It will please the Lord. But now let us come back to our text. Here we have a picture of two men. One was wise, the other foolish. One builds on a rock, the other builds on the sand. The storm hits both houses. One stood, the other fell. What is the lesson here for you and me? In Luke's account of this saying of Jesus, as recorded in Luke the 6th chapter and the 48th verse, referring to the wise man, we read, "He is like a man who built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock." That is, he dug through the sand to reach the solid rock. One must dig deep in order to thoroughly understand the truth concerning the great foundation, the rock upon which we build. If we are superficial or haphazard, if we have not digged deep through the sands of error to make this great foundation truth our own, the storms of life will bring about the collapse of our house. Remember, the storms of life will come. They must come. For after all, we are being prepared for a place on the throne of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are being prepared to administer blessings to the people of earth as faithful high priests in things pertaining to God. Therefore, tests are necessary. Our building must be tested, and it will stand, no doubt about that, if it is built on a proper foundation and if it is built with proper materials. The Master says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Here again, doing is just as important as knowing. But let us continue. May we read 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 9th and reading through the 14th verse. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Here the foundation of all Christian building is presented to us. In verse 11 we read, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You have noticed, of course, that some build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And you have also noticed that some build with wood, hay, or stubble. But I also want you to notice, and this is important, that they both build upon the same foundation. Listen to verses 11 and 12 again. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble." This text does not refer to the non-Christian world. Verse 9, you remember, tells us that it refers to those who labor together with God. They are the ones who are exhorted to build on this foundation. The foundation is not the question. The foundation is sure. The question is, what material am I using to build upon that foundation? Am I using truth, or am I using error? Gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble? The foundation of any structure is important. If the foundation is weak, the whole structure is in jeopardy. We know that. And we know that our foundation is not weak. We know it is strong. It is Jesus Christ and His work of redemption. But the building which we erect on that foundation is also important. And that is what the Master is here talking about. They both build upon the same foundation. And there is a lesson here for us. And I think the lesson is this. But before I give that lesson, let me first tell you a story. A lady came to New York and secured a room in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. She had just settled down when she heard someone in the next room, the room next to her, banging on the piano. As the banging continued, she got madder by the minute. At last, she could stand it no longer. Her nerves, you know. She telephoned the manager. She said, "Someone is banging away on a piano next door to me. I've stood it as long as I can. I'm getting a headache. It's just driving me to distraction. You must have it stopped at once." The master said he was sorry, but it was impossible to stop it. "Why is it impossible? I'm paying my rent." "Well, you see, Mr. Padrevsky is in the suite next door to you, madam. He is rehearsing for tonight's concert in the music hall." "Who? Who's practicing next to me?" "Mr. Padrevsky. You see, I could not possibly stop his rehearsal." "Well," she said, "I've come 500 miles to listen to that concert. It's Mr. Padrevsky. Why, my headache is all gone already. Let me listen. Yes, that is wonderful music, isn't it? Well, I'm going to invite some of my friends to come into my room and listen to the rehearsal. Thank you very, very much." Prejudice is like that. It can make beautiful harmony sound like discord. It can make truth sound like error. Or it can make the wood, hay, and stubble of human tradition appear as the gold, silver, and precious stones of divine revelation. So, as far as you and I are concerned, let us watch our prejudices. We all have seen structures of error built on the good foundation of Jesus Christ. We all have seen structures of faulty materials, shoddy materials, imperfect materials, adulterated materials. We have seen false interpretations of Scripture. We have seen errors of the creeds of men, perishable, worthless, wood, hay, and stubble. We have seen the traditions of men built as superstructures on a good foundation. One of the sayings of Jesus was, "Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men." All perishable material, this is wood, hay, and stubble. On the other hand, we have seen erected the structures of faith, structures consistent with a foundation, for truth is imperishable, truth that is based upon the admonition, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Thy word is truth, and that is why it is so important to have these sayings of the Word of God, a thus saith the Lord, stamped on every block of our building material. Our building is going to be tested. Its true value will be manifest. The day will come when the wood, hay, and stubble of error and imperfect understanding will be destroyed, but the golden strivings for the divine nature, the silver of the pure truth of God's Word, and the precious stones, the promises of God, all that is truth will stand. May we build with these imperishable building blocks, gold, silver, and precious stones. In our Lord's day, the Pharisees were not careful in demanding of thus saith the Lord. Traditions became important. These traditions were very real to them. The Talmud, with its habits and customs, was placed on the same level as the Word of God. Jesus knew this, and he condemned it as being wrong. No uninspired work of man can supplant the Word of God, and Jesus told them so. Ye lay aside the commandments of God, he says, and ye hold to the tradition of men. These traditions were not the building blocks of truth. And in Matthew, the 15th chapter, beginning with the first verse, we read, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." The traditional ritual of washing hands before meals was very involved. I will not go into the detail here. Suffice it to say, it was traditional. It was not scriptural. But note verse 3, our Lord's reply. He admits that his disciples feel no compulsion regarding a human injunction, but then adds, "Ye also transgress." But not a human injunction. Ye transgress the word of God, and he proved it. The picture is that of a son evading the duty of assisting his needy parents, and in a sanctimonious, hypocritical way saying, "I am sorry, my dear parent. I would love to help you, but I can't. You see, I have vowed to give everything I have to God. I haven't given it, of course, but I have laid it on the altar, so it is beyond my reach, and I cannot give any of it to you. You see, I have already given it to God, and I am only a steward, and I am so sorry." And so he gave his needy parents nothing. Listen to these verses from the Moffat translation. "Then Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they take their food.' He replied, 'And why do you transgress the command of God with your traditions? God enjoined, honor your father and your mother, and he who treats improperly as father or mother is to suffer death. But you say, whoever tells his father or mother, this money might have been at your service, but it is now dedicated to God, need not honor his father or his mother. So you have repealed the law of God to suit your own tradition.'" You know, that sounds like Christians who say they don't believe in tithing. They say, "I don't believe in giving only 10%. I believe in giving all to the Lord." And that sounds good, and it is good. But the question is, would the Lord settle at times for 10% rather than for the amount that he actually receives from some? So let us build carefully with the building blocks of God's Word. Truth sanctifies and edifies. Error, traditions cannot do that. Let us choose our materials carefully. Let us build with what he described as gold, silver, and precious stones. None of us could ever understand the truth, the sayings of God's Word, without divine aid, without the Holy Spirit. And we honor the servants of God whom he has used to clarify the truth for us. And all that labor in the love of the Lord on our behalf. And we also love the Spirit with which all these who have endeavored to help us to understand the Scriptures have pointed us to the Word of God, to the gold, silver, and precious stones with which to build. These sayings of mine, let us hear these sayings. Let us do them. For if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So here is the lesson, it seems to me. We should build with the Word of truth, the sayings of the Word of God, with gold, silver, and precious stones. And if we do, then the storms of life will never destroy the superstructure of our faith. How powerful is the truth! Error will go down as wood, hay, and stubble, but truth will abide as gold, silver, and precious stones. And now Matthew 7:28-29. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astounded at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." This was at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. You notice he sent them away with something to think about. They were amazed at the truth he had taught. Many followed him. Let us also continue to follow him in hearing and in doing his sayings. Thus we build upon the sure foundation, Jesus Christ. Thus our material will be the Word of God, and thus our building will be a superstructure of truth, built with gold, silver, and precious stones. and our house will stand, and we will receive a reward. Yes, may we receive the reward for keeping the sayings of Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember that Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are truth." And remember also, there hath not failed one word of all his good promises.
Thank you, Brother Pollock. And now in closing, let us join in singing hymn number 178, The Solid Rock.